for only we were in a different county. Good morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Richard? Those are the only scriptures that I list, my favorites. Now, I've stood up here and told you every time I read a scripture just about. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And that holds true. Whichever one it is. I have to begin this lesson with a disclaimer. I had already decided to talk about this topic before the events of this week happened. You ever had times in your life where something happens that you never thought would have happened? And you ask yourself that, what do we do now? What do I do now? Have you ever had something happen in your life that you had no clue how to move forward with? You'd never thought about it before. And so you ask yourself, what do I do now? I don't know where to go from here. What do I do? I think collectively as a people, we can ask this same thing, can't we? What do we do now? I don't like to pull sermon topics out of headlines because headlines change every day. But I started with this before any of this ever happened. What do we do when we don't even recognize our government anymore? What do we do when the most powerful man in the world, the president of the free world, stands up in front of everyone and says it's a sad day for the court and for the country that we can't kill babies willy-nilly in the womb? What do we do now? I think the first thing we need to do is know that God is in control. No matter what happens in our country and to our country, God is in control. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 13. And let's start reading at the very beginning. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an angel of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoing. Therefore, it is necessary to submit the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. Now, what do we get from that? Do we get that everything that the government does is right? No, that's not what it's saying. We understand that, don't we? That if someone asks us to do something contrary to God, We can't listen to it, right? What did Peter say? Is it right for us to obey God or man? I think we know that answer. But what we should take away from this is that God knows what's going on. God is in control. How do we know that? I mean, He told us that. But we see that in the Old Testament too, don't we? In Psalm 66, it reads like this in verse 7. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him. Is God watching? Sure He is. God is watching the nations and what they do and who they are. And Job says it another way. Job chapter 12 and verse 23. He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and disperses them. We live in a great nation, don't we? Why is that? Because God has blessed us. That's why. Because God is watching us. God is exalting us as a nation to do His will. And that's why it's so we have to be so careful, right? Because God will bring us up as a nation, but He'll lay us low as a nation if we are done serving His will. That's bad news, right? Y'all know I don't like to leave on bad news, though, right? So what are we supposed to do? What do we do now when we see our great nation going through what it's going through now as a nation? We can't give up on nations because God may still be using them. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells Timothy, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. No matter how dark it seems, we have to keep praying for our country, don't we? We have to pray for our leaders. No matter how much, if we like them or don't like them, we have to pray for them. God answers prayer, doesn't He? Looking back through history, we can see that governments have come and gone. Governments have risen and fallen. And through it all, God's people are always told to look back at God. Keep God first and foremost in your mind and in your thoughts. No matter what's happening, we go to God, right? That's what we do now. We go to God. Let's go a little bit smaller. What do we do when we see so many people around us that have abandoned God? You're saying that's the same question we just asked. No, not really. When we see so many people around us that have abandoned God, I think we need to remember that God can use evil for His good. That's how amazing God is. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, Joseph explains exactly this principle. He said, when he's talking to his family, his brothers, he said, what you did out of evil, God used it for good. You know that story, don't you? The whole Israelite nation was saved because of the evil actions of his brothers. What about Pharaoh? We talked about it this morning in Romans. God used Pharaoh's evil actions and his decisions to show God's greatness, to show God's glory. And then we have Acts chapter 3. In verse 17. And we see Peter speaking to those men around him, and he says, now brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that this Christ would suffer. When we look at the Acts, at the end of all the Gospels, the acts of the Jewish leadership, the acts of the crowd around it that yelled, crucify him, crucify him. We see evil, don't we? Pure evil. One of the saddest scriptures in the Bible. We have no king but Caesar, coming from the Jewish leaders. This is who they waited for from the very beginning, from the time of Moses. This is who they waited for, the Messiah. And yet they say, we have no king but Caesar. They acted out of ultimate evil. And yet God used that. God said, I know how to use this for good. One of the things that we need to do as we remember that God can use evil for good is that we need to continue to teach the gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For the Jew first, but also for the Greek. Paul went everywhere and preached to everyone who would listen to him. I love the scriptures that talk about how Peter and Paul were in chains. And you can imagine, when they were in chains, they were chained to a guard. Can you imagine when they put the cuffs on him and he said, and as they're walking to the cell, have you heard of a guy named Jesus? He had a captive audience, right? He might have been chained to them, but they were chained to him as well. And he was going to teach them the gospel. That's what we need to keep doing. When we see the evil all around us, we need to make sure we are still teaching the gospel. Because only God will change hearts. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God is the one that changes hearts, right? All we do is tell him the goodness that God does. Tell him the good news. It's this preacher's opinion that the reason we are surrounded by so much evil is that we've quit teaching about God. I want you to think about this. Our nation was founded on godly principles. Our nation was founded on the full armor of God. And yet we've kicked God out of our government. We've kicked God out of our schools. We've kicked God out of our workplaces to not offend people. We've stripped our country of the full armor of God And then we wonder what's wrong. There's nothing to stop the arrows. And see, life won't live in a vacuum, will it? When you take something out of something, something else is going to fill it. Right? We've kicked God out of everything. So evil has come to fill that spot. Has come to fill that place. And do you know this is a scriptural principle? Open your Bibles to chapter 11 in Luke. Chapter 11 in Luke. I want you to know what color, note what color those words are. Jesus is saying in verse 21, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. That sound familiar? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. We've kicked God out of everything. And so evil has come in to live. We need to keep teaching God. And I don't mean to sound cliche. I hate cliches. I avoid them like the plague. You didn't get that. But God truly does work in mysterious ways, doesn't He? We need to remember that whatever happens, God loves us, and we will receive our prize that we are promised. James calls it the crown of victory. It's a victor's crown. I'd like to do an illustration, but I'll just describe the illustration. If everybody in here had a flashlight, and we turned off the lights, and everybody turned their flashlight on, it'd be bright, wouldn't it? And yet if we all slowly, one by one, started turning off our flashlight, there would be more darkness, wouldn't there? And eventually, if everyone turned off their flashlights, we'd be in darkness. Darkness is so prevalent in our society now, which is funny, not funny in a ha-ha sort of way, funny in a weird way. Darkness is nothing. You ever thought of that? The definition of darkness doesn't say what darkness is. It simply says it's an absence of light. So if we take all the light out of our society, what's it going to have left? Darkness. That's why we need to keep teaching God. That's why we need to keep teaching the gospel. No matter what happens, we can answer that question, can't we? What do we do now when we look around and see our society and see the people that have evil in their hearts and minds and their behavior? We teach the gospel. We do the same thing that Paul did. We do the same thing that Peter did. We do the same thing that all the apostles did, right? And those that came after them. Because the only way we're going to drive out that darkness is by turning on the lights. So let's make it a little personal. Don't you just love when the preacher does that? What do we do when troubles come into our lives? And I don't necessarily mean troubles like waking up late for work. Those are everyday things, right? I mean, a trouble comes into our life and life just sucker punches us, knocks the wind out of us. What do we do then? That's the time when it's really easy to ask that question, right? What do we do now? What do we do when life pushes down on our shoulders so much that we can't bear it? I'm going to tell you what we need to do. When life pushes down on our shoulders, go ahead and go to your knees. We need to take it to God in prayer. Jesus is our best example of this, isn't he? If anybody ever had weight on their shoulders, it was Jesus. And we see Jesus in the garden. Sometimes I feel silly about praying for the same thing over and over, but he's our best example, isn't he? God, can you take this cup from me? But not my will, but yours be done. And I want you to imagine. Jesus was God, right? Is God. Excuse me, I said the was again. He knew what was coming ahead, what lied ahead. I think about the fact that he probably knew exactly how many times he was going to be hit when he was being flogged. He probably knew how many breaths he was going to take as he was hanging on that cross. How many times his back was going to be scratched by the wood as he took his breath and let it out. I don't know about y'all, but for me, if that was me, ignorance would have been bliss. But he didn't have that. He knew exactly what was coming. He went to God with it. He gave it all to God. And then said, but not my will, but yours be done. This is the way we got to be. This is the way we need to handle the problems that life gives us. Give them to God. Give them to God. We've got to remember that God loves us and cares about us personally as well as collectively. In Matthew chapter 10, what's Jesus say? Aren't two sparrows bought for a penny? And not one of them falls out of the sky without God knowing about it. Even the hairs on your head are numbered. It's easier to count for some of us than others. But even the hairs on your head are numbered. He takes it from a collective to a single. Jesus said, God cares about you individually. Your hair is numbered. Not one of them is going to fall out without God knowing it. Now that truly is a shepherd knowing his sheep, isn't it? We need to learn to lean on God when we can't stand on our own. Our brother just read Psalm chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. He is our fortress and our stronghold. He will be there for us when we need Him. And then God told Joshua, what? In 1:9, be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you? I don't want to forget that. That was a commandment, wasn't it? Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Because the Lord your God is going to be with you wherever you go. If He's with us wherever we go, does He know what we're going through? Of course He does. And we have the promise that He'll help us. We can have others pray for us too, right? We have the context of James chapter 5. And in verse 13 it says, If any one of you is troubled, let him pray. And he goes through a big long list, right? Pray for one another. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Finally, Paul told the Corinthian church that troubles are only temporary, didn't he? He told the Romans as well. I'm not going to quote that because that's one of my favorite ones and I quote it all the time. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. And Paul is telling the Corinthian church the troubles that the apostles are going through. And he says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles. And I want you to understand the context of this. As we read about Paul's missionary journeys, he was beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a poisonous snake. And yet he says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul says, any troubles we have right now are simply temporary. And when we mix what Paul says with what James says, our life is but a mist, right? Our life is but a vapor. In a span of time, it's just, and that's it, right? So all the troubles we go through now are going to be nothing to the eternal nature of glory that we're going to have. So what do we do now? As I've been up here talking, have you noticed what we do now? It's pretty much the same for any problem that we have. We go to God. God is the answer to any and all of the problems that we may have in this life. The instructions that we receive from God's Word are just as relevant today as when the inspired writers penned them and the ink was still wet in the quill. All we have to do is take everything to God. Understand that He loves us. He cares for us. He knows what's going on. And He can use it. No matter what everybody does, He can use it. Let me ask you this. Do you have anything you need to take to God today? Have you put Christ on in baptism? Are you carrying your sins around? Or are you a Christian? We urge you today, the elders and the preachers of this congregation will admit we have an agenda. We want to go to heaven and we want to take as many people with us as we can. If you're here today and you haven't obeyed the gospel, please do so. If you're here today and you're a brother or sister in Christ and you have something heavy on your heart, you want your brothers and sisters to pray for you, let us know what it is. Whatever need you have, please come forward while together we stand and sing the song of invitation.